Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
There's somebody who's, you've been struggling to hear what God's telling you. You feel like He's not telling you anything. And you're asking Him for help on something. I don't know who this is, but I know that God's telling you to just let it go. You're so focused on what's happening in your life that you're not seeing that He's already placed the solution for you there. Sometimes we do that, right? It's like tunnel vision. You become so focused on something in your life that you don't see that there's other things happening. And He's telling you this morning, just let it go. Because I've already given you the solution. I've already told you what to do. You just gotta trust me and you gotta let it go now. This song, it talks about opening up. You know, one of the hardest parts sometimes is that we get in the way of what it is that God's trying to speak to us about. And it's not because we do it intentionally. And that's the thing, is a lot of times we don't even realize we're doing it. We've gotten so used to the way that life works, the way that things go, the way that, you know, everything in our life normally works, the routines, the ins and out, even, you know, our routines with religion. And that's the thing, is that He doesn't desire for it ever to become a routine. He wants to give you some new things in your life for you to see that what you're going through now is not irrelevant. That it's not, in His eyes, it's not something that's just whatever. He knew you were coming to this point before you even got here. He saw it coming from afar off, and He knew the things that He was going to place in your life to get you through that point you were coming to. And sometimes our inability to just let go, to just understand that sometimes things don't happen logically, sometimes things don't happen the way we think they're going to happen, and sometimes they just do not happen the way we want them to happen. That even though that's the situation, that He's already got His hand on the situation, and what He's doing is better. Oh, I don't know who He's talking to, but let it go. Just let it go. There's something that happens when you just release it and you allow Him to handle it instead of holding on so tight, instead of saying, I want this because it's important. I need this because I don't want to let it go. If you just learn to let it go, even though you feel like what's happening at this time isn't right, even though you're not happy with the way it's happening, even though you understand, if you just learn to let everything like that go and just quiet those things. God talks about controlling the thoughts that come into us. And the reason you control those is because if you allow those to rule you, you'll make decisions based off the physical. You'll make decisions based off of emotions. You'll make decisions based on what you see physically in front of you. And what we have to learn is that the kingdom doesn't operate that way. It's not what you see. It's the invisible. It's the things happening behind the scenes. It's the things that are being placed in your life behind everything, that if you just rejoice through the bad, you'll find that where He's taking you is better than where you were. Oh. What you see as bad in your life right now is taking you somewhere greater. It's giving you something more. So rejoice. Be happy that you've already gained that victory. Be happy that even though what you feel was the best you could have, now maybe you feel like you're losing it. It's better that you're losing it, because the best you thought you could have is not the best that He has for you. There's things that happen life that hurt. And those things are refining in the fire. It's this thing that you're going through, and though you feel the flames, though you feel everything that's happening around you, if you would just trust in Him and let it go, surrender it all to Him, you'll find that when you get through it, what you felt like you were leaving behind was so terrible that it was so painful to leave, you'll gain something amazing. And if you realize that, that process actually happens faster. Because now you're allowing Him to work in your life. You're allowing Him to give you some things that you weren't allowing Him to give you before, that you might be able to start the healing process, that you might be able to start rebuilding, that you might be able to start taking those next steps that He's given you. This excites me because I've been there, and I know that when leaving something that's so important to you, you feel like it's a bad thing. But you'll see that God's got something amazing, something you never dreamt, something you never saw, because He's creating the masterpiece. It's just like watching somebody paint. You don't know what they're painting if you're just watching it, but they know what they're doing. And it's the same thing. He made everything knowing exactly where He was placing you, what He was doing in your life, and who He was placing around you. And even when you feel like that place is shaky, when you feel like that place is unsteady or even makes you unhappy, turn to Him, because He's going to show you that there's joy in the midst of it. Because whenever you do anything with Him, it all works together for good.
Hallelujah. Open your heart to Him this morning. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and open your heart to Him this morning. Open up your heart. You know, the Word of God says in Romans chapter 5, it says that tribulation works patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope. And you know, the Word of God says that hope is the anchor to your soul. It holds you. So there's actually no word about you being discouraged in that. Tribulation works patience. Patience works experience. What kind of experience? Your experience with God. That God will take you through, over, under, around, and whatever's going on in your life, God will be with you. And it builds an experience in your heart where you know the next time you have a problem or a trouble, you know that there's hope in your heart because you know that God's with you. It's an anchor in your soul. So I sense that same thing that Rebecca was saying. Let it go. Turn loose. Release. When you let go of it, God will take care of it. Hold on to it, and you're holding on to it. That's it, man. So release it. Hallelujah.
I just wanted to let you know that Rebecca's been speaking to me today. I've been having a hard time at work. Every time somebody's hired in my department, they leave. And it's so discouraging. And this last time, it just broke my heart because I got so close to the person I'm working with. And now he's leaving, and all over again. So I just lost all hope. And I know God has everything in control. I know that.
Yes. Come on.
I know that deep down in my soul.
Yes.
So I'm really not worried, but it's discouraging just the same. And He gave me this poem this past week, and I guess I should read it. It's on recycling, more or less. How God recycles us.
Yeah, come on, man.
So here goes. Behold, He is waiting. He's right at the door. He's waiting for you to renew and restore.
Yes, come on.
You need a new structure. The old is undone. Let Him into your heart. make room for the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Shine a new light of hope from despair. Mm. He can knock down your walls to renew and repair. For he's into remodeling and rebuilding old.
Come on.
He's the master
Thank
builder.
You, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, he might break you, not in harm, but more to make you strong. So trust him.
Yes.
Lean on
Come
him.
On.
And
yes.
sing a praise song.
Ooh, yeah.
The remodel might scare you or seem cause for concern, but lean back and rest, renew, and learn.
Yeah.
He knows how to restore and to make you whole. After all, he made your soul.
Oh, come on. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. Woo. Hey, I like that. Amen. God buys ugly houses. How many of you know that? Come on, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hey, remain standing just for a second. I'm going to read something to you. The title of today's message is called The Privilege. How many know you're privileged? How many know that? Do you know that it is a privilege to stand in the presence of God? Do you know that? You know it's a privilege to even speak the name of Jesus. It's a privilege. Come on, hallelujah. I'm just going to read you something that this is what the dictionary says privilege is. A special right. Comma, an advantage, comma, immunity granted or available. How many know that you've got immunity available to you in Christ? Do you know that? Some folks don't know that, but it's available to you and it's been granted to you. You can have it if you want it. How many of you want immunity? Yeah. Amen, come on. How many of you want that? How many of you want? Huh. Oh. The advantage. How many know Jesus is the advantage? It says immunity granted or available to a peculiar person or group. Amen? A particular person or group. Amen? How many know you are privileged to stand in the presence of God? You are privileged to go to God in your prayer. You are privileged. You're privileged. Amen? Look at somebody, tell them, point at them, say, man, you're privileged. Amen. You can sit down. Thank you, worship team. Praise God. The privileged. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Mm. Is that your water, babe?
Yes.
Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I open up my heart to you. I love that song, man. How many of you like that song? I open up my heart. To you. I know I'm wrecking it, man. I'm sorry. Praise God. Glory to God. How are you doing this morning? Are you sensing the presence of God in the house this morning? Are you sensing God's presence? I love his presence. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you that when we make it, when we're finally in heaven, whenever that might be, 300-400 years from now. Amen. Come on, everybody say amen. Yeah, when we're finally in heaven, hallelujah. I imagine there's going to be a lot of worship going on. Amen. How many know there's worship going on right now? There's angels going, holy, holy, holy art thou, might, O Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. How many say amen to that? How many of you know that heaven's full of his glory and God is bringing the glory into the earth? And folks, we are sensing the glory of God and on the earth even right now. How many say amen to that? God is doing something. Amen. How many know that God never stops? Do you know that? He created a universe. They tell us that the universe is always expanding. Why would it be always expanding? Because God never told it to stop. Amen. He didn't say stop. He just said, man, let there be a firmament when it took off, man. God's word, the power of who God is. Folks, how many know we're privileged? We are privileged to be who we're at. Glory to God. I want to start in Matthew, if you will. Matthew chapter, I believe it's 26. Glory to God. 27. Hallelujah. It's kind of a crazy place to start, but it picks up on a message we had a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And I believe God is just continually speaking to his people, saying, I need you in my presence. I want you in my presence. The way he's going to strengthen you and build you is going to be because you're in his presence. That's where he speaks to you. That's where his voice becomes clear to you. That's where he shows you his plan for you, if you will. Hallelujah. In his presence. Hallelujah. I believe God is continually speaking to us. He says, look, I've shut down things in your nation for you. Is that right? So that you can come and find me. Isn't that right? How many have time to seek God? Yeah. I'm going to ask for a hand because I don't see a lot of people. I got no time. I got no time at all to seek God. Can I tell you that God, it's important that you take time to seek God. It's important. It's important to you. It's important to your children. It's important to your grandchildren. It's important, you know, it's important that you seek after God, that you go after him, that you know him. Because just knowing him, when things begin to happen, something begins to crumble around you, you've got a rock that you can stand on. You've got a place that you know is solid. Amen? Things are crumbling all around you. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it will not come near you. That's what the word of God says. It won't come to you. Hallelujah. Because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Amen? Amen? Let me say amen to that. Amen. Dwelling, living there in the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, to open the word to our hearts this morning. Amen. Father, we honor you this morning. We thank you for all that you do and all that you've done. We thank you for the things you're going to do, Father. Oh, Lord, this morning, as we read your word, Father God, pray, Father God, that you would open our hearts. Allow us to hear things that we've never heard and see things we've never seen. Father, I'm asking for revelation in every mind here today in the name of Jesus, that you would reveal something new, something fresh to your people. Father, I ask for myself that you would anoint the lips. Lord, the message you've given me this morning, I pray that you would help me to speak it, that I might speak it correctly, the way you desire it to be spoken. Father, can do nothing without you. So we thank you, Father. Praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. You're privileged. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a privilege. We're going to start at verse 33 of Matthew chapter 27. The word of God says, and when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he tasted thereof, he would not drink. See, the vinegar and the gall was kind of a deadener. It would deaden his senses. But Jesus wasn't about to be deadened in what he was going to go through. Because he was not doing it for himself. He was doing it for us. Verse 35 says, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And he set up over his head an accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This was my king. How many say amen? My king, watching, they sat down and watched him. My king. And then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroys the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. It's incredible how much we don't know about what God is doing. Isn't that right? Here this man is giving his life for them. And they don't got no idea, no understanding. Verse 41 says, likewise the chief priest. Now these guys should have known something. They should have had a little hint about something. Likewise the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. With their own mouths, they talked about Jesus. Well, he saved others. I mean, that was what Jesus came to do. Amen? Come on, man. Do you not see the hypocrisy in what you're saying, you scribes and Pharisees? And he saved others. And himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Can you imagine what's going on in heaven right now, right on this spot? Can you imagine what's happening? There had to be a command from God saying, telling those angels, you stay back. You hold back. I can imagine the angels, did you hear what he said, God? Did you hear that? God, just let me go. I can do something here, God. You hold back, stay back. Because the word of God tells us even the angels didn't really realize what was happening. All they know that the king was the son of God was on the earth. You remember that? And when he came on the earth, they sang, Hosanna in the highest. They said, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace to men, goodwill toward men, because a baby is born. And now here he is on the cross. And I believe the angels had to be restrained. Absolutely had an order. You do not intervene. Do not step in there. I believe a tear was on every one of those angels. I believe they watched. So what's going on, God? What's happening? And the disrespect was flowing. Is that right? Disrespect. Disrespecting this man on the cross. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, same cast in his teeth. Now in the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land under the ninth hour. Here we see the earth responding to what's going on. Darkness pulls in, clouds come over. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe at that moment, that's when God placed the sins of the world on his son. My sins, your sins. Some of them that stood there, when they heard this, said, this man calls for Elias. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let be. Let's see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Verse 52 says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Isn't that crazy? That's something, isn't it? That's what the word of God says. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this man was the Son of God. Amen. Quite a story, amen? I mean, isn't it beautiful what God has done for us? What Jesus did? It's beautiful And I want to tell you that that right there created a privilege in you to have fellowship with God. Do you understand that? Do you understand the privilege has been paid for you to fellowship with God, to speak to God, to go to God? Do you know that? Hallelujah. You see that place where it says, and the veil, behold, this is verse 51, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, ripped in half from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks tore. It said that that curtain was pretty thick, woven together, not just a piece of cloth. It was woven together. It had purple and red. As a matter of fact, let's go and look at it just for a minute. I want to bring up, if you will, Exodus chapter 26, verses 31 through 33. And the Bible says this, thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet. Blue is heavenly. Purple is royalty. Amen. Scarlet is the color of blood. Thou shalt make a veil of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work, and cherubim shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. I want you to notice that. The wood is overlaid with gold. You see that? The shittim wood is overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold. Amen? And then it says, and then upon the four sockets of silver, and thou shalt hang the veil under the attaches. It's a short word for attachments. Under the attaches. Say it in Spanish, attaches, right? And thou shalt hang up the veil under the attaches, and thou mayest bring in there within the veil the ark of the testimony. We're talking about the covering that goes around the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. Here is Moses' orders to build this tabernacle and how to place the curtain in front and we're around the place where the Ark of the Covenant was set. This curtain was around it. And as you guys know, that it was given once a year for priests to go in beyond that curtain and place blood on the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Covenant in there. That once a year allowed to go in. Hebrews 8, 1 through 5. I just want to look at verse 5, if you guys will. I feel like God just wants me to look at verse 5. Talking about who serve the example and shadow of heavenly things. I want you to look at that where it says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Actually, it's saying this is a type of things that are coming. It is a shadow of things, of heavenly things. Things in heaven. How many, everybody say things in heaven? This is a type of things in heaven. And then he says this, as Moses was admonished of God, God spoke to Moses. He says, when he was about to make the tabernacle, he said, for see, saith he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed you in the mountain. God had actually taken Moses, allowed Moses to see the heavenly tabernacle. Do you know what I'm talking about? God took Moses to see the things that God was building on the earth through man. God allowed Moses to see it. He says, make sure you build it according to that which you saw. Amen. He's very specific about what it was. I tell you, God's very, very, if there's anything about God, he pays attention to detail. How many know that? How many have found that in scripture? He pays attention to detail. Can I tell you, anything that's in your heart, he knows it's there. He pays attention to it. And I will tell you, as the body of Christ, or as people of God, I will say this, so you can't hide anything from God. Amen? He pays attention to detail. Your heart is before him, wide open, whether you want to open it up or not. And he sees those things that are going on in your heart. And I will tell you, as a faithful, loving creator, he will work with you. He will talk with you. He will show you things in order to place something of beauty in a place where there was something not very nice. Amen? Hallelujah. God pays a lot of attention to detail, and he tells Moses, make sure you pay attention to the details you saw on that mountain. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. God had told Moses exactly how to build everything. And it's cool. I love reading about the tabernacle. And as I was doing this message, I said, God, I want to do something on the tabernacle again. And he said, not now. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want to jump up and start from verse 1 and read all the way down to this verse here again, if we could. Now, the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Here's the sum. How many know? Yeah, I got 2 + 2 + 2 + 2 = 8. How many know that? How many thought it was 10? 2 + 2 + 2 + 2 = 8. All right. Anyway, this is the sum. The sum is 8. Now, this is the sum. He says, we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, that his name is Jesus. He's sitting on the throne, on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle. You see that word, true tabernacle? There was a tabernacle in heaven. There's a tabernacle in heaven, okay? And there was one on the earth. There was the earthly, which was actually representing the heavenly. Is that okay? You understand that? There was the earthly representing the heavenly tabernacle. And the things that they were doing on the earthly were things that were coming in the heavenly tabernacle. Amen? Hallelujah. So he says, who is set on the right throne, on the hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. See, man pitched the one on the earth, but the Lord pitched the one in heaven. How many know that? Because that's what it says. That's what the word of God is saying. Next verse. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. What did he offer? He had something to offer, didn't he? Oh, boy. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Jesus wasn't a priest according to the law. Jesus was a different priest. Amen. The word of God says he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which had no beginning and no end. Come on. He is an eternal priest. Amen. The Bible says he prays for us. He continually sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Is that cool? So, you know, people, you got people praying for you, but better than that, you got the King praying for you. He's praying for you. You might think you can't make it, but you're going to make it because he's praying for you. He knows your situation. God, trust him. He says, verse 5, now it says, who served the example and shadow of heavenly things as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, he said, see that you make it after the things that, according to the pattern you showed to you in the mountain. Praise God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. I want you to look at this. You see, Jesus says right here, by a new living way, we'll get back to this, but by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. Now, I want you to notice what it says here. Through the veil was his what? You see, there was a veil on earth and there was a veil in the heavenly sanctuary. The veil in the heavenly sanctuary was Jesus himself. Do you hear me? Because you remember this. You remember this. Let's look at this scripture. It says, 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Do you see that word? There's one mediator between God and man. I know what you're thinking about this scripture, but this also speaks about the veil, who Jesus was. He is the one separating God from man, but now because of his sacrifice, he opens it up. Come on, man. The man Christ Jesus, the mediator. Watch this. Look at this scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says this. He is our peace. Everybody say amen. Who's your peace? Hallelujah. United States government? Is that your peace? Come on. Hallelujah. Are your leader? Who's your peace? Jesus. He is your peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Between who? Between you and God. He broke that down. Because he is the veil. Oh. I don't know if you're getting it. Oh. He is the veil. He's the one that all our lives have kept us. He's the one that kept Moses and the people. Remember remember when they said, hey, God says, gather all the people and that I will speak to them from the mountain. You guys remember that? And so he says, in 3 days it's going to happen. On the morning of the day that it happened, which I believe was also the day of Pentecost, but on that morning when God went to speak to them, they woke up to the sound of a trumpet. How many like loud alarm clocks? Well, this was an alarm clock to beat all the alarm clocks. Nobody was going to sleep through this one. And it said it got louder and louder and louder. Isn't that crazy? And the Bible says they got up and they look at the mountain and it's covered with clouds and there's flames and it's thundering and it's lightning. And the people are going, whoa, they're kind of backing up. There was an order given, don't you dare touch the mountain, because if you touch the mountain, you're going to die. Because God is holy. And they had there was an element called sin in their lives that had to be dealt with. That's why the tabernacle was in place. But they're looking at this site and they go, man, they're backing up. They go, we can't do this. Moses, let him talk to you. And then you tell us what he's saying. I don't know about you, but I want to hear what God is saying. Amen. I want to hear my ear to his voice. My ear in his mouth. Lord, speak to my ear. Tell me what you have. I hear a lot of voices in the world today. I see a lot of things going on. But God, what I want to hear is your voice. What are you saying? And can I tell you that God will speak to you? He will speak to you. Because I believe this right here is what he's saying. To he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. This morning, God is speaking to the body of Christ all over the world. Everywhere. He's speaking. But are we hearing? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. I want you to look at this. Having therefore brethren. How do you say women, brethren? Brethren. Okay. I was going to brethrenettes. How's that? Brethrenettes. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. You see, God has provided a way for you to enter in. Can I tell you, you're privileged. You have an invite into the presence of God. You have an invite. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. The veil is what? Jesus' flesh. Through the veil, that is to say what? His flesh. The veil has been opened. Hallelujah. I want to put up a scripture, John chapter 3, verse 13. Did you guys have the TPT also? No? You didn't? Okay. This is what it says in the King James. No man has ascended up to heaven. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus here. This is John chapter 3. Jesus has told Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again to even see the kingdom of God. And then he says, you must be born again by the Spirit. You must be born by the Spirit, he says. Nicodemus says, what? He's born again. I gotta My mom's not around. I don't know. He says, do I need to get back in the womb and be born again? And Jesus says, no, you have to be born by the Spirit. And then he says this, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Is that kind of crazy, the way he says that? He says, no man has ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What? I want you to look at it in the TPT. Look at it. This is the Passion Translation. It says this. No one has risen into the heavenly realm except the Son of Man, who also exists in heaven. Do you see that? I love this. There's another translation, and it says, who also dwells in heaven. Dwells. There is a duality of things, spiritual and natural. There is a dual thought, if you will. How does this sound to you? It sounds kind of crazy, huh? But I'm not trying to give you something weird, but I want you to see what Jesus is speaking here. I want you to know that Jesus had a different mindset than what Nicodemus said. Had. So Jesus tells him, back to the King James, if you would. He says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I want you to understand that no matter where Jesus was, he used to tell folks, look, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom, see, and Jesus had a mindset that wherever I am the kingdom of God. I am, so there is a duality. Not only are you on the earth, but you are also in heaven. Do you understand that? Can I tell you, when you go to pray, you're not just on the earth or next to your bed. You have entered into the courts. You have gotten into the tabernacle where God lives. And this is what, and that's what you need to understand, that your prayers are being heard because you're standing in the presence of God. That's where He lives. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Do you understand the duality of it? Do you understand two places at one time? I remember going to Four Corners. You guys remember that? You can put your feet and then put your feet down. You got Arizona, New Mexico. What's the other? Utah. And what's the other one? Colorado. Yeah. Your Four Corners. You can stand. They got it marked for people to do that. You imagine people doing that all day? Oh, man. You are two places at once. Isn't that crazy? That is the kingdom. You are the kingdom of God on the earth. Do you understand that? What's that? Glory to God. Zion. Out of Zion. I've got that written down. And I got excited last night. How many know that Zion is Jerusalem? Do you know that? Put this first scripture up. I think it's 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings 8, verse 1, it says, Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. I'm sorry. I think it's 8:1. Can you put up 8:1? I'm sorry. Hallelujah. That's a good scripture, too. I don't know what I was talking about right at the moment, but hallelujah. Sorry, Terry. I must have put that down on the paper wrong. Romans 8:1. So Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, and this King Solomon in Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem? Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is what? Zion. Jerusalem and Zion are synonymous. They're the same thing. Jerusalem is Zion. Zion is Jerusalem on the earth. But can I tell you, there's also, like we say, a duality in it. Zion is also in heaven. Do you know that? Do you understand that the things of heaven, the things that God has for you, actually come out of Zion for the child of God, the person that believes and is filled with the Spirit, and you're trusting God in all things, and He wants to speak to you out of Zion. Hallelujah. I want you to look at this scripture. It says this, Psalm chapter 50, verse 1 and 2 says, "The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined." You see that? The perfection of beauty, God has shined out of Zion. Can I tell you, that is describing our Lord and Savior. He is the perfection of beauty. He is God on the earth. And he shined into the... How many believe that? That he came and he shined. And he shined brighter than anybody's ever seen. Can I tell you the brilliance of who he is? It's astounding. It's past comprehension. We can't even get a hold of how beautiful the Lord is. Just can't. He says it right here, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. Just think about that. Perfection of beauty. If you've ever seen perfect beauty, what would that be? If you've ever, your eyes have ever been able, I mean, I've looked in forests and been driving down the road and see the forests and some neat rocks and stuff. I go, man, that's beautiful, man. That's perfect. You know, but the Word of God is describing the perfection of beauty. Whatever's beauty to you might not be beauty to somebody else. A 55 Chevy with nice wheels is beautiful to me, but maybe you don't like that. Some folks don't like Chevys. Come on, man. But God says the perfection of beauty has shined. Jesus. Hallelujah. Out of Zion. Zion is a place. Hallelujah. Psalm 110, verses 1 through 4 says this. I like this because this is describing where Jesus had been risen from the dead, the perfection of beauty, who became so scarred and so marred by men that nobody, you wouldn't even be able to recognize, unrecognizable was how bad he got beat up that day he went to the cross. Unrecognizable. And it says right here, the Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit right here. Sit thou at my right hand, Jesus, till I make your enemies your footstool." And then he says this, "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength." Out of where? Out of Zion. When you go to your prayer closet, you are entering into Zion. I will say that to you. You need to understand where you're at. You understand spiritually that you are in the courts of Almighty God. You are in the throne room of God. It's wide open to you. You are a privileged person. You really are. You don't need anybody or anything to lead you there. You go on your own. Whenever you've got time. Amen? Perfection of beauty. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. I want you to look at it. I didn't put it down, but I didn't think I was going to use it, but I can see I'm going to use it now. The rod. This is a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for rod in this scripture is mateh. M-A-T-T-E-H. Everybody say mate. It means a branch being extended. It also means a chastening or correction. It also means a ruling, as in a scepter. Also means a throwing, as in a lance. And the one I like, it's a walking as a staff or support of life, i.e. or bread, where God says, "I am the bread of life." Says this. Out of Zion, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. What is it that you need? What's going on in your life that you need? Do you need a rod of correction? Maybe not for you, but maybe for your children. Maybe for somebody that you're trying to help, and the Lord gives you a rod of correction for them. It's a rod in love, is that right? How many know that? It's not just a correction you're thinking of getting spanked by God. That's not it. He's talking about a rod of correction that you need. Do you need a rod of correction for your children? Could it be that God would give you that? Out of Zion, he's going to give it to you. How about you might need a weapon, a lance, if you will, for throwing like a spear. Do you need that? Well, you might. And the word of God is telling you, he says, man, out of Zion, come this rod, this lance, if you need it. There's an enemy troubling you. There is a thought troubling you. There is a temptation troubling you. And all you need is a word like David. Yeah. It's a lance. It's a spear. Something to kill that thing. Out of Zion, a rod. Or maybe it's a scepter you need. Standing up and say, man, no, man, this is my house. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. Why? See, you are a king and a priest. It's been paid for. It's been paid for. And see, this thing, the word of God says that out of Zion, that place of your prayer time, comes this rod that you need, a rod of strength in those things. Isn't that cool? Or maybe it's a rod that you need just for walking. Amen. I was telling my daughter the other day, man, I think I told everybody else, my knee's been bothering me like crazy. And I got to church and I'm a walker. I like walking and praying. I do. I spend my time praying. So I said, you know what? I don't care what you say. I'm going to walk. And my leg is good, man. I walked around, went by everybody's house, went by, put rocks on mailboxes. Amen, Steve? Putting rocks on mailboxes. Come on, these folks are on the rock. And I put a little rock on their mailbox. Just signifying of things in heaven. Amen? Come on. And when I got back to the church, I noticed, you conformed, didn't you? Yeah, the good boy. Come on, man. Hey, you know what? The word of God says that Paul said, I keep my body under subjection. Hallelujah. So you see, I needed a rod of correction. You're better than this. What are you hurting for? I needed a rod of authority in Jesus' name. Shut up. Come on. Can I tell you that you can tell pain to shut up? You just tell it, shut up. Conform to God's word, my friend. Be what you're created to be. The design of God. Tell your body, man, don't mess with it. I'm going to grab a pack of pills. That's not doing anything. Out of Zion comes a rod that will touch you and it will help you. And God says, come into my presence and I will speak to your heart. Hallelujah. It is for you. It's been paid for. Oh, man. Come into my presence. The Lord shall send a rod of thy strength out of Zion. And then he says, rule in the midst of your enemies. Do you see what he's saying to you? You have authority that's been given to you. You have everything that you need. Rule. Rule in the midst of those enemies that are around you. Shut up. And I'm not telling you to go tell your friends to shut up and stuff. You know what I'm saying? You get it. You tell it, man. Whatever's troubling you, whatever's coming up within you, say, no, not today. I'm a man of God. You're a woman of God. Tell it. Speak to it. Say, The rod that comes, I mean, do you realize what you're dealing with here? You're dealing with the rod that comes out of Zion. This is the heavenly Jerusalem, not this earthly Jerusalem. Hallelujah. I didn't give you this, Steve, but I feel the Lord wanted us to go to, it's Psalm 122. Psalm 122 says this. I was glad. How many? It says, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How many are glad when they tell you, let's go to the house of God? Let's go to the house of God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, you can tell your friends right there, man. I mean, you know, somebody's having a problem. Wherever you're at, right there on the corner, right up here, man. You say, let's go to the house of God right now. Come on, let's go. Let me take you to the house of God, man. And you pray for that person. And you say, man, this is what God has said to you. This is, see, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. He says, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Do you see what he's saying here? He says, my feet will stand within thy gates. You, your feet. When you go to pray, you are in the heavenly Jerusalem. Your feet stand in the courts of the King. Hallelujah. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together where the tribes go up. How many say we're in this tribe? We're in the Gentile tribe, amen? I know this. The tribes go up under Chicanos, Latinos, how you? I better stop there, huh? The tribes. He says, under the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. What do we go up to the house of the Lord for? He's telling, what do you go up there for? What are you going there for? Oh, Lord, I thank you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've told us, how you will watch over us and take care of us and keep us and lead us to those green pastures you have for us. How many know that God wants you to eat in green pastures? How many know that God doesn't want you eating old food? He wants you eating good stuff, stuff that's good for us, stuff that's going to build you up. And it's in the Word of God. He said, he is the bread of life. He said, if you'll eat my flesh and drink my blood, hallelujah, you will see things you've never seen before because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Come on, he says, where the tribes grow up, the testimony of Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord, there are set thrones of judgment. Can I say, I love this scripture right here. I love this because when you are in the heavenly Jerusalem, when you're on your knees before the King, next to your bed or in your car or whatever, the Word of God says here, there are set thrones of judgment. These thrones of judgment are there so that you can hear what God is saying to you concerning what you're going there for. Do you hear me? He's there to give you his judgment, to speak to you. It might just be saying, peace be still. I've got this. I'm taking care of you. There are thrones of judgment there. And then it says this, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And I just want you to, I want you to look at this scripture very carefully because for all my, most of my life, I've always thought, well, I'm going to pray for the Jerusalem, but I've always prayed for the natural Jerusalem. But where it says here, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that's what you need in your life. Lord, give me the peace of Jerusalem. That peace that flows from the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. This is, see, there's a duality. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'm hoping you're getting about the duality. There is a duality of who you are and where you stand. Not only do you stand on this earth, but you also stand in the heavenlies. The Word of God says that he died, he rose, and he brought us with him into the heavenlies. Do you know that? You are seated in heavenly places, is what the Word of God says. You are seated in heaven. Hallelujah. And I like it. Being seated in heavenly places. How many know seated is a nice thing? You ever had to tell somebody, calm down? You ever had that? Calm down. Sit down. Whatever. Sit down and just relax. Right? And that's what God would say to you about being in heavenly places. Hey, you're in heavenly places. You're in the New Jerusalem. Have a seat. Take five. Listen with your ear. Look and see what you see with your eyes. Allow your heart to be flooded with the things, the peace of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, "Please, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within your palaces." Can I say that's a good thing? That peace be within your walls. This is a time, folks, you know, I've heard it said that we are in perilous times right now. I've heard it said that we are in uncertain times right now. Not for you. Not for you. Not for you. Because the Word of God tells us, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Is that right? He says, man, you have what you need right now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I mean, the things will take care of itself tomorrow, but just today. Don't worry about tomorrow. So you're in a certain place, is what the Word of God is telling you. You're in a certain place. Jesus would go to pray in a certain place because he was certain of who he was and what he was doing. Same with you. Be certain of who you are. I'm a child of God. Ain't nothing gonna hurt me. Nothing's gonna, no, I mean, the Word of God tells you, he says, fear no man. Amen? Fear no man. He says, if you're gonna fear anybody, fear him. Reverence him. Love him. And it changes that fear into a, oh, I'm good. Amen? Hallelujah. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of our God, I will seek thy good. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. For you are not come to the mountain that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Remember, I was talking about that earlier. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. See, you're not coming to that cloud and that. But put up the next scripture, this last one. This will be the last scripture. It says, pardon? Hebrews chapter 12, 22 through 29. You're not come to the mountain, right? You're not going up to this mountain that's burning anymore. Amen? That would scare all the people. But this is where it says you're coming. But you are come to Mount Zion. You see that? Mount Zion. That's where you're going to. And under the city of the living God. Now I want you to, what I love, because this is the kingdom of God he's talking about. And I want you to see how he describes this kingdom. And he says, as you are come to the mountain of Zion, under the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And then he says this, to an innumerable company of what? Angels. Innumerable company. You see, this kingdom that we're in, not only is it with us, but it is also with this innumerable company of angels. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that these angels are sent to you to minister to you, to help you, to hold you up, to keep you lest you dash your foot against a stone. These angels are innumerable and they're here to help you. The Word of God says in Psalm 103, he says, bless the Lord, O ye his angels who excel in strength. And then it says this, hearkening to the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord our God. These angels are listening for the voice of God that comes floating out of your mouth. Is that okay? Yeah. Can I tell you something that you can speak to angels, that you can say, you know what? Angels of God, I need your help. Lord, I could use a couple angels right now. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Angels. You know, it's for some reason, I haven't focused a lot on angels till just lately. Could it be that these times God is releasing angels to help you? And they're around you listening for what God is saying through you so that they can help you. Isn't that crazy? The innumerable company of angels, and this is to a general assembly and church of the firstborn. See, it's describing where you're going. When you get on your knees at night and you're praying, this is where you're at. To a general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, and to God, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, here we go once again, the mediator, the veil of the new covenant. To the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel. See that refuse not him that speaks. For they escape not who refused, if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks in heaven. I want to say this to you real quick. God is speaking to you. You might not know it. You might not get it. You might not understand it. I was telling my son the other night, just two nights ago, maybe three nights ago, I was asleep. And I was awakened by a voice. And it said to me, he said this, and you're going to love this, what it said. It said, Henry. That's all it said. But what was crazy about it, because it was crazy in a couple of ways, man. When I heard it, it woke me up and I knew it was God. I knew it was him. And I said, Lord, yeah. Lord, I'm listening. The other crazy thing about it was, it was my wife's voice. It was like she called me. And that's crazy. I looked at her. She was asleep. She wasn't. And I looked at her and I kind of pushed. She's not awake. And I asked her when she got up, did you call my name? But I knew she didn't, because when I heard it, there was a clarity in it. How many have AirPods? Does anybody have AirPods? How many got AirPods? Put your hands up. If you got an AirPod earphones, have you used earphones before? There's a clarity that comes in those things when you're listening to music. Almost sounds like there's a band in your head, right? Dun, 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 dun. Or if you're listening to a preacher, it sounds like there's a preacher in your head. But anyway, there's a clarity that comes to it. This voice, when it came to me, it was even clearer than that. It was absolutely clear, absolutely pure, and I recognized this is God. So I got up, I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? Walked around the house praying in tongues. Didn't hear anything else. But can I tell you something? It really got me fired up. Because when God says something to you, it's beautiful. Amen? And I knew it was him. And I will tell you, God is speaking to you. And a lot of times it might sound like your mom, might sound like your husband, might sound like your wife, might sound like one of your kids. It could sound like almost anything, but you'll know it's him because there will be a clarity in the words. You see, God is trying to get you into his presence. He is trying to take you from where you are now to where he wants you to be. Whether it be strengthened by his might and the power of his love, or if it's Puerto Rico, New York, whatever, God is trying to get you to hear what he's saying. And I will tell you, he's talking to you. He's speaking things to you. You might just not be recognizing it. I would say to you, take some time and say, Lord, I want to hear you more clearly. I believe that God has brought us to this point in our world today where he says, your opportunity is now, right now. How many of you say amen? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to hear. And you know what? I mean, I don't want to hear. I don't care about tomorrow, God. I want to hear right now. Tomorrow will be whatever. Tomorrow. But that'll be right now then, right? But I want to hear now. Will you open these things up to me? Because he is opening these things to you. He loves you more than you realize. He split the veil. This is what it, so the veil, Jesus said, if I be lifted up. Is that what he said? Jesus, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Is that what he said? This is what the Lord says. The veil on earth in the temple was torn. It was torn in half. Jesus was lifted up between heaven and earth. He had to be lifted up, and he was up on that cross, and he was torn. Can I tell you that? The veil of heaven was Jesus on the cross, and now you have access, you have privilege to be in the kingdom, to be in the house of God, in God's presence. Can you stand? Hallelujah. Privileged people. Look at your neighbor and say, man, you're privileged. Point at them. Say, you're privileged. Yeah, yeah. You know, point and say, you know, you're so privileged. You are privileged. Hallelujah. How many like being privileged? How many like the fact that God says, come to me anytime, any place? How many like that fact that he says, I love you. Hallelujah. Folks, it's time that God's people know their God. Amen. That you know him. That you know he's taking you. There's no question mark in your head about what you're doing. I know I am serving my God. I am in a certain place. Hallelujah. If he's not telling you to do anything at all, don't do anything. But if he's telling you to do something, go do it. Be responsive to what you hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your word, God. God, I pray that if there's anybody here that has never given their heart to you, never spoken to allow you into their life, Father, I pray that you would help them. Help them to open their hearts. As a matter of fact, if there's anybody here, say these words, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose again from the dead. I believe it, Father. So, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I give you my heart in Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, know this, that God heard you and he will respond to you. Now, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would continue to pour your spirit upon them. Lord, continue, Father, to do them good. Continue, Father God, to watch over them. Father, continue to pour upon them the mysteries of the kingdom, these things that we are to walk in today. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song. Let's worship. And then after the song is done, we'll release you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.